Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WTIC, good afternoon. We made it all the way to Friday. And what a magnificent week it's been. It's been so quiet and smooth and united. It's just been united, has it not?
Unified and united.
It is Mikey Monday, not because it's Monday and not because it's normally Mikey Monday, but because it's Mikey's last day. Producer Mike is departing. This is it. This is his swan song. This is all she wrote. This is the fat lady singing. Go ahead, sing, Mike.
C'est la vie. I don't even know what that means, so I don't know if it's appropriate, but
it means that's life. That's what all the people say. Flying high in April, shot down in May.
That's not a lyric.
Just mixing in a little.
Little Frank.
That's a lyric, yeah.
Well, I know that.
That's right.
Little Blue Eyes.
You know that one, huh? Youngster like yourself. That's great.
Yeah, I like Frank.
So if you want to back out, I suppose there's still time. Do you want to cancel the move to Texas?
I thought you meant back out of today's show.
No. That you're locked in. Locked and loaded.
Well, I'm locked into moving because I don't have a bed here anymore. So.
Oh, that's right. They took your stuff, those evil movers.
Yeah.
They took your stuff. How was that experience? What do you think of moving?
I don't have that much stuff, so it wasn't.
But you still had enough to call a mover.
Yeah. I also have a fairly small car. I don't have a truck or anything. Which will probably change because everybody has a truck in Texas. But
that's right. You'll have a pickup with a shotgun and everything.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a double barrel or something. Yeah.
Yeah. They come with that, I think.
Chevy. Yeah. I don't know if it's standard, but you can definitely add that into your whatever. The process of moving is fairly simple. I think the hardest part is just, at least for me, only speaking for myself, it's just like the mental aspect of it. It's like, what am I forgetting? There's something I'm not doing. It's, you know, a lot of anxiety, which I don't know if that's typical for everybody, but that was my experience over the last couple of weeks.
I think moving is absolutely gross. I can't think of anything that's worse than having to do that.
Well, I don't know about that. I could think of a lot of things.
You have to pack up your home. You have to, and by the way, my wife is a person who's into stuff. Like I was thinking the other day, if I had to liquidate this house on short order, I was thinking, what would you do? How would we do it? We'd have to have a bonfire and just burn up thousands of things. The whole garage is packed with stuff we haven't looked at in years.
It's called eBay. You know, you just sell stuff on eBay. Don't burn
but
it.
But that would take months.
Oh, yeah. You said if you had to do it quickly. Well, you know.
Say if you had to do it in a month, I don't know what we'd do. You get a big dumpster. A huge dumpster, like a demolition.
Have an estate sale. Estate sale.
Yeah, that's possible. But then people come around and they want to give you a dollar for stuff. And
Well, that, you, a dollar's better than the smoke you're going to create with your bonfire.
No, I'd rather just be done with it. I mean, if you could just open up the place and put a label on all the free stuff.
Yeah.
And let people take it, I'd be happier that way. But boy, we have a lot of stuff we do not look at. And
well, yeah.
That's why moving is torture.
I guess I can relate to that. I mean, like I said, I don't have that much stuff. And, you know, I'm a younger person. I haven't really put down roots anywhere yet. I've been living in rental places, you know. So it's like I didn't really accumulate. Yeah, I didn't accumulate that much stuff. But I still had quite a lot. And I cleaned out my childhood room as well, which was probably the hardest part, just with all the junk that I had in there.
All those Bon Jovi posters?
Bon Jovi? What? I had a Green Day poster.
I don't know.
But that's
Green Day, that's it. Green
Day. Yeah. That's about it. Well, and some Beatles
Bon Jovi
stuff,
was so from 20 years before you. Right?
Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
I couldn't think of who you pick up for the late 90s and early 2000s. What year were you born? Well, don't say the exact year, but what period is
I'm 29.
Okay.
So if anyone wants to do some quick math, you can figure it out.
It's over my head. It's pretty interesting. You know, as you get older, you look at young people and you say, wow, somebody born that recently can be 30 years old. or 20 years old. It's a really weird process.
I mean, that's the thing about time, you know? It just keeps on going. You know, the older you get, the more young people there are.
Yes, that's true. And the more liberal they get.
Yes, that's how it seems. I'm hoping...
the more liberals there are.
I heard once, this feels like ages ago, but somebody was like referencing the youngest generation. I forget what the one after millennials.
Gen Z?
Yeah, Gen Z. I don't know. Should have been easy to recall that. But either way, they mentioned something about how Gen Z is the most conservative young generation in years, like since before Gen X, I guess. I don't know, since the baby boomers. I don't know. I don't know if there's any truth to
that. Well, I would think people born during the Reagan years and after, I think there was a push of conservatives.
Well, it wouldn't...
We're talking to producer Mike. It's his last day here with the show. He's moving to Texas. You can join in if you want, 860-522-9842. Yes, Mike.
It wouldn't be the people born during the Reagan years, right? It would be the people born, you know, 10 to 15 years before the Reagan years, because, you know, nobody except James is a young person who's that deeply into political life. That's my straight-up assumption. I mean, obviously, James is an outlier, so...
Yeah, it was more of a generalized thing. Conservatism became cool. Reagan was a beloved president. So even if you were born before, even if you were born in, you almost were born back at the end of the Reagan year. So Reagan was 1980
Not really.
To 88.
I was born in the HW administration. The tail end of that.
Yes. So he was he was a one term president after Reagan. So
Reagan part three.
So there was, yeah. So the third term of Reagan, I guess they called it. So it's possible for there to be a tail on a presidency like that where it would influence people. But I guess it didn't influence you because you didn't become fully rational about politics until the last couple of years, I think.
Yeah, if anything, it was the opposite. I always, I was ignorant of it, and I still am to a large degree, but I always kind of viewed Reagan as some sort of, a negative.
A villain.
Yeah, just because that's what he was portrayed as in the mm-hmm. liberal media that I was absorbing.
All right, let's see who's on line one. Hi there, you're on the air. Who's this?
It's Maria.
Oh, Maria.
Hello, Maria.
Do you mind if I want to say goodbye to you, Mike?
Oh, well, thank you, Maria.
It's been such a pleasure. And I must tell you, it's so exciting when you travel. And I don't know if this is the first biggest move of yours, but I was so lucky to travel to most of the world. And I love Texas. Love, love Texas.
Nice. Excellent.
What do you love about it?
Oh, I love the state. I love the people. I love the layout. I like Texas.
Oh, you better move down with me then. What are you doing in Connecticut still?
I think that's what she was bucking for, an invitation.
I've been to all the big cities in Texas. Oh, that was with my job, but I loved it. But you know, Mike, wherever you go, you are going to succeed. I will tell you that. It's been such a pleasure for us.
Thank you. You're the best.
Oh, no.
That's very sweet, Maria. Thank you.
I wish you so much goodness. It's wonderful. I'm so excited for you. I love traveling. I was a flight attendant. Oh, I did so many flight attendants.
You were a flight attendant?
Yes, I was a flight attendant
wow.
for 4 years. You know what?
Wow.
Todd, it was coffee, tea, or me.
Yeah. So you were doing that whole game, huh?
Oh, I did. I love the service. And even after I went on into management with the airlines, I still would help out on the planes. You know, I used to love to sit at the end of the runway and watch the planes come in. I just loved flying. I just had it.
Really? You liked the time in the air. So that doesn't become debilitating after a while, like suck the life out of you and cause physical reactions
travel.
And stuff?
I love travel, you see.
I love travel, too, but I wouldn't want to spend like 4 or 6 hours on a plane every day.
God, you know, I lived in Japan for 6 months. I went to China. I went to Australia. I went to New Zealand. I've been so lucky in my life. To travel, and so I wish you the best, Mike. Thank you, and it's been wonderful talking with you.
Well, likewise, thank you. You've always been very sweet, and you have the best accent in all of radio.
Oh, well, that's so nice of you to say that. It's very, very nice, and I love those Texan accents.
I know. I'm hoping to pick one up of my own.
Oh gosh! Now, where are you going? What city?
It is Dallas, north of Dallas.
Oh, Dallas is great, great city.
Oh, good, good. I was nervous for a second.
That's so funny, Maria. I love that you're so excited.
With his belt buckle, the bar there in Dallas. Oh, my gosh, Maria. Slipped my mind, but I've sat in that pub in Dallas. And
well, perhaps we should take this part of the call off the air, Maria.
Sorry, Todd.
If we're going to get into your drinking life.
You have a great weekend, Todd, and wonderful. And I'll talk to you again, I'm sure. And again, Mike, good luck, and thank you. Thank you for being there and such a gentleman. Mm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. You're very kind, as always. 860-522-9842. It's Mikey Monday on a Friday because it's Mike's last day. Producer Mike is leaving. As you may have gathered, to move to Texas. So we're chatting with him and taking phone calls here on WTIC. Stay with us, quick break, and we'll continue on this amazing radio station, News Talk 1080.
All my exes live in Texas.
Wow. The whole Texas vibe of the show is already changing because Mike's moving. Is this what you play in your pickup truck now? With the rifle on the rack?
I mean, it could be. This wouldn't be my first choice. It's just, you know, I have a limited amount of time to set this up. But
it really captures the flavor of what we might imagine you'd be in for.
I don't want my exes to live in Texas, so I'm trying to get away from them all.
Oh, man. Yeah. A state panel narrowly recommended Friday, that's today, Friday, that Connecticut legislators and constitutional officers receive their first pay hikes in 2 days, a small one, though. But whether the General Assembly and Governor Lamont will order those increases remains uncertain. The Commission on Compensation of Elected State Officials voted 3-2 this morning to tie the salaries of lawmakers and constitutional officers to inflationary factors. Based on current rates, that would involve an increase of slightly more than 1%, but because no raise could be implemented before the next term for lawmakers begins in January 2023, the increase would be based on inflation at that time. I want to get a reaction to this. Mike, what's your reaction to the idea of raises? One of the laments for state legislators is that they haven't gotten a raise in since 2001, and they make $28,000 a year, members of the House and Senate. Should they get more? 860-522-9842. Mike, your thoughts on that?
This is tough because, I mean, I don't think, you know, $28,000 a year, especially in a state like Connecticut, isn't going to go very far. But I suppose the idea is that it's not supposed to be a career. You're supposed to be like
Keep in mind, it's technically a part-time legislator, and they have other careers.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a good point. Then I say go to hell. That's what I say.
That's the spirit, Mike. I like that. That's where we should be coming from.
It's not even like they do a good job or anything. Like normally, if you get a raise, it's because you've earned it for some reason. And I mean, maybe that's unfair. I'm sure there's plenty of good politicians. But I don't know. I haven't seen any.
Well, we're coming up on 11 months of no legislature and just one guy making all the political decisions for the state, King Ned.
So maybe Ned can get
a
raise.
And he's going to extend that. He's going to extend it. He should get, there should be no salary, I believe, for governor and for state legislators. That's my position. Because they shouldn't be encouraged to make a career of it, as Mike alluded to. Like, why pay them to permanently make a mess of things?
Well, they already... But I guess the... Yeah. Sorry, I'm walking all over you. I guess I've heard some people say, well, if they were paid more, then they wouldn't succumb to the shady backdoor dealings that seem typical with politics, the state and federal, you know, like lobbyists and all this.
No, the lobbyists don't give them money personally. They put money into their campaigns, and they all will permanently want that. I mean, look in Washington where they make a good salary, and it's all about lobbyists. And it's all about power brokers.
What's the salary at the federal level?
Oh, I don't know. They make Congress makes maybe $100,000 and a quarter. I forget. I have to double check it. But they do fine. You know, they complain it's not whatever they make isn't enough because they have to have homes in both places and things like that.
No, they don't.
They're always traveling and stuff.
They don't need homes in both places.
Well, they need someplace to stay when they're in Washington.
It's called a hotel. It's called Motel 6. Like, what?
Well, if you stay there 3 or 4 nights a week, though, say they fly down on Monday.
They have Residence Inns. Residence Inn. There you go.
Yeah, it's still, yeah, maybe that would be cheaper. Could be.
Well,
anyway, thoughts on that, please.
We know that they don't care about efficiency, so it's beside the point.
Well, that's true. All right, let's grab a phone call. Hi, who's this? You're on the air.
Todd and David, how are you?
Hi, David.
Hey, Todd, I just want to answer your question. Should the legislators in the state of Connecticut get a raise? Hell no, Todd. I mean, and tell me something. All right, when's the last time any of them solved any problems?
They create the problems.
Right. Okay, when's the last time any of them actually saved the taxpayers' money?
They cost taxpayers money.
Okay. So then pretty much I'll leave it with this. Remember somebody famous in the state of Connecticut said, hey, shared sacrifice?
Who said that?
I don't know. I think he was a Democrat.
Thank you very much for the call, David.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah, so I mean, that sequence of questions, I think, lays it out pretty clearly, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I believe we would be better off with no legislature and no governor and no state government. Make a little panel of volunteers and let them make decisions and have them leave. I don't know how you'd structure it.
I don't know if it would be better.
More casual.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be better, but it wouldn't be any worse.
Let's work on that in this conversation. We're talking to producer Mike. It's his last day working here on the show at WTIC. He's moving to Texas. If you want to wish him farewell. We'll take more phone calls on this subject. We will talk about whatever you like. We'll play country songs and get Mike in the mood for his new Lone Star State residence. And the important thing that Mike will be doing is he'll be on the front lines of the resistance against happening in Texas what happened in Georgia. That's your job, Mike. Don't.
Stop the steal. Oh, sorry.
Stop the steal. We are going to get some news, and then we'll continue the conversation on WTIC.
God bless Texas.
There we go. Mike's new state. My producer leaves me today. You might not even know what a producer does, and I have trouble figuring it out sometimes as well. But they do answer the phones, clear the calls for us, run the board, mix all the sound, make sure everything going over the air sounds impeccable and mistake-free, and occasionally assist in putting together content for the show if they are in a good mood that day and feel like they have time.
Yeah,
so
I think you nailed it.
Is that a good job description? That's
yeah.
It, isn't it?
Yeah, that's everything. Yeah. All the above.
All right, so we're discussing this. You know what's weird to me is that there even is a commission, a state commission, on compensation of elected state officials,
which
voted 3-2 today to tie state salaries for lawmakers and constitutional officers to inflationary factors. This is they're trying to pass in when nobody's looking and when inflation is very low, something that will cause a big pay hike automatically in a few years when inflation is going out of control, crazy. And everyone will just say, hey, there's nothing we can do. The commission did it.
Yeah. And then we can install tolls because we need more funding.
Exactly. Yes. And then the tolls can be tied to inflation.
There you go. It's brilliant.
Along with congestion. Congestion and inflation and anything else that will make it go up where they can just say, oh, we didn't do it. It was an accident.
I was going to say, when you were bringing up, you didn't even know they had a commission for that. You know what they don't have a commission for in Connecticut?
Protecting taxpayers?
Ethics.
Ethics. They do. They have something.
No.
But it's unethical. No, there's the State Unethical Ethics Commission.
Yeah. Well,
thought that it was fine to have the speaker of the tolls, to have Joe Arisimowitz be the Speaker of the House and make $140,000 a year working for the union. Was ethical.
Yeah, there's no conflict there. Come on, Todd.
Wowza. All right, we'll go to Bill in Weathersfield. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Todd. Well, Mike's leaving. Has some big shoes that some of your replacement's going to have to fill. I've always enjoyed.
Yeah, we've going to get three people to take over his job.
I think you'll have to, absolutely. He always makes me sound good when I listen to my callback. Anyway.
The special effects, yes.
Right. On the state legislators, seeing they haven't worked for 11 months, I thought they should be giving their salaries back. And
I know, isn't that timing wonderful that after 11 months of utter cowardice and evacuation of responsibility on the part of the legislature, they're looking for a pay hike.
Right, absolutely. The base is 28,000, but then I also understand for each committee they get on, and they get on as many as they can, they get another $5,000 per committee. So if you actually look at their W-2s, none of them are going to actually say 28,000. They're going to say probably 55,000.
And then I think they get more if they've got a title, like if they're the ranking member,
right?
Which the Republicans, there's so few Republicans now, I assume they've all got They're all the ranking members of some committee or such.
And then, of course, you get great health care benefits as a state legislator. But that's another story. Now, to the federal reps and senators, they've seen substantial pay increases. In 2001, they were making basically 100 grand and plus expenses and some other perks that they can add in. And now they're making 174,000. But they haven't.
Wait, what's that for? Is that for Congress or for U.S. Senate?
Congress. You know, either the
they're making 170?
174.
Oh, my.
And then again, you know, plus if you're on a committee and if you're the head of the committee, you know, you get extra money for all that, too.
Yeah.
And I like Mike's, residence in. You know, they don't need two houses down there, but that's what they all complain. Oh, I need two houses.
Yeah. That's what they say. Bill, thank you for the call. 860-522-9842. A pay hike. So in New Hampshire, I always bring up New Hampshire because the pay there is $100 per year for serving in the state legislature. And to me, that's a little too much. Like, why give them $100? I don't understand. Give them $1 because that way you've completed a contract. You need to pay something. Consideration, it's called in legal terms. Like, you need some kind of contract. But I think people should do it because they want to do it. And there doesn't need to be equal access based on, you know, whether you can afford to do it without the paycheck, I don't think. Just let people who care about doing it and want to volunteer their time, let them do it. You down with that, Mike?
Yeah. I mean, it's sorely lacking. As far as I can tell, nobody really does that, at least on like the federal level. I'm sure there's plenty of people on the state level that are genuine and are doing it for the right reasons and whatnot. But it seems the cream of the crop, the people that rise to the more permanent positions are just power-hungry do-batters.
Yes. All right, let's go to John. Oh, John disappeared. Mark in Windsor. Hello, Mark.
Hello. Absolutely no pay raises for any Connecticut state senators or representatives, anybody. They abandoned us. They abandoned
totally.
Us. Over this past
completely.
Year, they completely abandoned us. And then relegated or, you know, gave up their authority to an out-of-state law firm at a huge expense of taxpayers' money. They should get a deduction in pay. They work, what, a few months a year? They should get a reduction.
Wait, was the legislature involved with, did the General Assembly have a vote on the law firm? Wasn't that just Jolly Ned doing that on his own?
Yes, and by default, that was the legislature, by not being involved, which they should have been, they enabled him and afforded him that decision. So I still hold them responsible.
That's a fair enough point. Like, where have they been for a year? Yeah. What have they said? Yeah. What have they objected to?
And I drive by, you know, I go into CVS, I go into grocery stores, I go into the gas station. I'm at work. You're at work. I'm watching a UPS truck drive by my window. People are working except for our state legislatures. I'm offended that they even put that question on the board. And at the same time, this week, some legislature, I don't even want to say the person's name, put forth a bill to raise our taxes, one mill rate on commercial and real estate property.
Wow.
They don't put people out of work and want to raise their taxes.
That's right. They order your job shut down and then raise your taxes.
This is comical, and it reminds me of the skit that Dave Chappelle did in one of his Netflix stand-ups. It's about the Pimp Chronicles, and he talks about how he breaks one of his sex workers. And in that analogy, the Democrat voters, not even not that, but the Connecticut residents are the workers, and the pimp is the Democratic Party here. read the book.
Yeah.
Or watch it. Or watch the skit.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'll watch the skit. That sounds good. Thank you, Mark. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. Do you know that Dave Chappelle bit, Mike? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark
no.
was just suggesting.
Yeah, I've watched it. It's good. I mean, I love Dave Chappelle, so yeah, I was actually just looking for it. I was gonna send it to you.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, I was going to ask you to do that. That'd be wonderful because I don't watch enough Dave Chappelle, and I need to get caught up. Jeff in Kent. Hello, Jeff.
Hello, Todd. I called for a few reasons. You got me really interested in the show here today. I'm Jeff from Kent, but I'm going to be moving. From now on, I'll be Jeff from Monroe starting on Monday. And after 40 years in a house in Kent, can you and Mike imagine and give me some sympathy over the amount of junk I have accumulated?
Well, you strike me as kind of an orderly, compulsive guy who wouldn't allow one object to remain that wasn't necessary.
Wrong. No, I don't throw an object away figuring that I will need this at some point in my life.
so yeah, I'm kind of like that, too.
And then, as I think you know, I was for 28 years an airline pilot, and I was interested in Maria's comment. She should not have referred to herself as a flight attendant, because if she was from the coffee, tea, and me era, she was a stewardess all over.
Yes, she's updated the language because it sounds a little, I don't know, you're not even supposed to say stewardess anymore, I don't think.
Well, it is taboo, but those of the era recognize it. And the coffee, tea, and me, I don't know if you got that reference, but there was a book in the 1960s from a flight attendant, her memoirs. And I guess there was quite a bit of canoodling between flight attendants and passengers back then. Not much in the China virus era.
Well, that's right. That's what I thought she was saying. But I didn't say anything about it because I didn't think Maria meant that. I don't think she was on the radio saying that she was a loose woman when she was when she was airborne.
No, I didn't get
anyway.
That idea either, but no, she was just referring to the era she came from. So she was with one of the grand airlines that flew the world.
Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Well, and lastly, I more or less agree with you. I think you're a little harsh to not even allow some compensation for expenses. I don't think the legislature should be paid anything except for reasonable expenses to, you know, drive to and from Hartford and the like.
Well, what would the expenses be? Because what I find is I read these, you know, I'm always looking at newspapers around the country, and what I find is that there are often stories about legislators scamming their expenses, putting in for mileage, say, on days when they didn't go to work. And it just creates a whole policing thing. If you give people an opportunity to be weasels, then they will be weasels.
Okay, fair point. I can't argue with that. To some extent, though, there is expense involved, and it might be a little bit of a deterrent. But I agree with your principle that any sort of salary other than a de minimis payment is gives the wrong incentive for the legislature.
Good word. Thank you, Jeff. De minimis. I like that. You know that word, Mike? De minimis. I think it means a minimal amount of compensation. 860-522-9842, a state commission on pay for elected officials and constitutional office holders, is suggesting tying the pay, because they haven't gotten a raise in 19, 20 years, tying the pay of those elected people to inflation. And, you know, that's one of those things that look, it's cute. This is a cute maneuver. It looks like nothing right now because inflation's 1%. But in 2 years, inflation might be going wild with all this deficit spending the government is doing. 860-522-9842. More coming up on WTIC. I may not go to heaven, but I don't know if they cowboys in. If they don't. Yep, this is producer Mike's new music. This is what'll wake him up in the morning, what he'll hear in the bar when he's out having a beer at night.
Are there bars open?
I assume so in Texas. Come on. They can't live without beer.
Oh, sorry. I'm stuck in the Connecticut frame of mind.
Yeah. No, it's Texas. Anyway, they're not going to let the government lock them up.
I don't know.
Like here, we're
it's turning purple.
This is there was this word that there was this great vice president back during the Nixon years, Spiro Agnew, and he had great language that he would use, and he would talk about the effete snobs of the left or of the big government crowd, and that's what I think of us as being
effete.
Effete, yes. Like we're not.
I don't know what
we're
that
not
means.
Beer drinkers. It's just like it sounds. Pathetic, I think. Let me see. Definition. Anyway, he used to say stuff like that. And then he got run out of office so they could make way for Gerald Ford to be appointed.
A feet sounds like the plural of a foot.
No longer capable of effective action. A person affected, over-refined, and ineffectual. You know, like the people who run the state government. They're very effective at making a mess, though. They have made an utter mess. All problems that the state of Connecticut is suffering from, as far as I can tell, are created by these people who want to raise elected officials.
All roads lead
and
to Hartford.
If you could find a way to have a government with no government, then you could find victory. You've got to get rid of government if you want to stop the problems, because government has created all the problems, I think. Next up, Wayne in Bristol. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Todd. Hey, just a quick question. I know your listeners back a time ago said they were seeing slabs on the side of the highways with pipes coming out of them, and I've seen more of those, too. Did any of your listeners ever say what they were building, what those things were for? Because, like I said, they could be Ned's going to...
Oh, you're talking toll. Like something that looks like a toll gantry going up.
Yes. On slabs on the highway, and I've seen them on 9, and I've seen them on on Route 72, and some of your other listeners said they were other places too. And has anybody found out what those are for?
No, I haven't heard that in a few months. And slabs—you don't mean slabs on the highway, because that would cause accidents. You're talking
right,
about something going
highway,
on
like
the side of the road.
They're blocks, and with piping out of them, like you could put a gantry there. And
you sure it's not part of? Because there have been. I forget what roads are getting new signs, new road signs, and new numbers. Where is that happening?
Well, the blocks that I've seen, like I said, I've seen them on. They make these 5x5 blocks with pipes out of them, and like I said, you could obviously put a gantry there if you chose to do so.
Yes, and I'm suggesting that maybe it's for new signage because you know every so often they come along.
That's
they come
my
along
question
newness.
Was, what are these things actually for?
Yeah.
If anybody found
don't,
out.
We don't have an answer for that. And I haven't heard anyone mention it in a while, but thank you for that. Route 9, I remember people calling about. You know anything, Mike?
Nothing specific, but I do remember it being brought up in the past. And I do recall somebody from, I don't know if it was the DOT or some close relation to that. No, it was an official. I think we had him on, or I talked to him. I don't remember, but and he was saying that it was a sign replacement, which in and of itself should be pushed up against, because I mean, as long as you can read the sign, I don't know why we need to be replacing them as often as
Mike.
We are.
Don't talk like that. You don't understand government at all. Oh, Stephen in Springfield. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Todd. How you doing?
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, my lead up to this phone call is I just got through screenshotting like 5 what I considered really offensive articles that, as far as I can tell, they're ramping up the hysteria against conservatives. Now we're all guilty of sedition. If you say anything about election fraud, it's violent hate speech. But what I want to talk about is what I feel is the mainstream media's like subliminal propaganda. Like I'll give you an example. I'm making an unsubstantiated
quick.
Claim.
We only have a few seconds. Go fast.
Yeah, well, but I'm just saying it's I'm going to start doing commentaries and writing commentaries on articles because every square millimeter needs to be chopped through with a jackhammer.
I think every millimeter of government needs to be jackhammered. Thank you, Steve, for the call.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.